Psalms chapter number 24, and we're going to read one verse, verse number 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Amen. I'm just going to preach to you here for a little while what rightfully belongs to God. Amen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. What rightfully belongs to God. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him here today. Praise God. God, we love You. We love You, Jesus. You're so awesome. Hallelujah, 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 Savior. I worship You and praise You. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. I love You, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, Jesus, 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 Jesus. God, we love You, Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. The Bible declares that there are three things that without question belong to Him. Amen. They are not partially His, but they belong to Him. They are 100% His. The Bible teaches us that all of the tithe is the Lord's. Leviticus chapter number 27 and verse number 30 says that all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it is holy unto the Lord. The Bible teaches us, and with the verse that we have just read here today, that the earth is the Lord's, amen, and the fullness thereof. And the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter number 18, in verses 3 and 4, as I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use the proverb in Israel, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. And then in our text here, it says that all of the earth is His, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein are His. Praise God. So there are some things that are unequivocally God's. Amen. They belong to God. They don't belong to anybody else. And I would venture to say that they're not on loan to anybody else either. They belong to God. It is God's. And so I want to move rather quickly to get to where I feel led to go this morning. But just to bring some clarification on these things, the Bible did declare that all of the tithe belongs unto the Lord. In Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 10, obviously we go there oftentimes, and the Bible teaches us that we should bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in God's house, and to prove Him. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, and if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. Praise God. Amen. The blessings of God are associated with giving unto the Lord. And it's not just giving unto the Lord, but it is giving what is rightfully His back unto Him. And it's God enabling, empowering mankind to do what they desire to do. Just as He put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden and said, you can do anything that you want to do with all of the rest of this stuff, but of the tree of this tree, you shall not eat. And that is to a degree what God has done with us, with the tithing. He has blessed us with our income. He has blessed us with a job. He has blessed us with, some of you may be involved in investments and other things and stuff, but it is the blessings of God that has been upon you. Amen. Praise God. Now, the enemy would like to lie to you and tell you that it is by your good works, it's by your hard work, It's by this and that that you have accomplished all of these things, trying to get you to feel better about yourself. And it does take hard work. It takes consistency, faithfulness to this. Amen. But it is the hand of God that blesses us. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. And so we know that all the good gifts, all the blessings are from above. Amen. God has blessed us. Praise God. Even with the things that may seem so insignificant or trivial in life, but yet are so important, it is God that hath blessed us with these things. It is God that has blessed us with the air that we breathe, and with the water that we drink, the essential things, amen, that we take for granted. It is God that hath blessed us with these things. God hath supplied these things. Praise God. And we'll get into that here in just a little bit. Amen. But every penny that is in your bank account or in your pocket or wherever in that fruit jar back out in the backyard, amen, every penny that is there, it is the blessings of God that has been given unto you. Praise God. Amen. My children, they just seem to whatever they did just seemed to turn to gold oftentimes. And say, you know, they had birthdays and it seemed like everybody wanted to give them money for their birthday and such. And so they would walk out like bandits, amen, with all this money at their birthdays and such. But they always paid their tithe. They always did things of that, and they always gave unto the Lord. And so God blessed them accordingly, and God continued to bless them, and they continued to give. And I know I'm using them as an example here this morning, but in reality, that is the story of all of us. Amen. God blesses us, and then according to our faithfulness, He blesses us again and again. And somebody says, well, I haven't paid my tithe in a long time, and God's still blessing me. Amen. You're living in a deceptive world. You're living in a deceptive world. Amen. And the enemy has got you comfortable believing that you are okay. And that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that all of the tithing belongs to the Lord. Praise God. 90% of everything that you make, it belongs unto God. And God puts it into your hands to try you, to see you. He said, try me, and He's trying us here. And He's not tempting us, and He can't tempt any man, but yet He's putting it into our hands to see what we will do with that. And as we give that unto the Lord, God blesses and blesses again. And you never can outgive God. I was reading a book this morning and looking over some of these particular scriptures and such. And this one commentator said that his grandmother was a major tithe giver, and that she was one of the only ones throughout in the entire family that held a job throughout the Great Depression of the 20s and the 30s. He said her job was there continuously every day. It wasn't something that was desired. It was hard work. She was a widow, and they didn't have Social Security back then that would pay for or help the widow and such. And so she would be out there, and she would pay her tithe, and they never laid her off, never got rid of her. The brook never dried up, nothing like that. God continued to supply for her. The only thing that I did not agree with him was that he said that when she would get paid, she would figure out how much money it would take for her to live and her sons to live, and then she would pay her tithe. That needs to be reversed. That needs to be reversed. Amen. Because the 10% doesn't belong to us. Amen. It belongs unto God. And it's not there to see, if we can do it. And if we can do it, then we go ahead and give unto God. Amen. Because we are removing God's hands from from being able to bless us. He cannot. He can't. He will not. Nor can He bless us. It goes against His will. And somebody said, well, I haven't paid, and God blesses me, and I've even got more blessings and stuff. You know what? The bottom line is if we're not in the book, if we're not following it, then there's something that is wrong, and the devil is trying to fancy you and trying to play with you and to tell you that everything is okay. Amen. And everything is not okay. But on the other hand, he said, try me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing upon you, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And then he said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. He said, try me. Amen. See if I will not do this. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Praise God. Amen. We need to get that revelation. We need to get that revelation. Instead of us always saying, you know, devil, take your hands off. Devil, take your hands off of my house. It seems like everything in my house seems to be breaking. Everything seems to be going wrong. Take your hand off of my car, my truck, my this, my that. Take your hand off of that. You know, I'm spending all this money doing this and doing that. Take your hand off of the holes in that the bags have, that the money seems to be falling out of. You don't have to do that when you follow God's principle and God's law. The Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he will cause your fruit to hold on until it is time, until it is ripe. It will not cast forth its fruit before the time of harvest. Amen. Somebody said, well, that's an Old Testament principle. That's not what Jesus says. Amen. Jesus said that. He said, woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites, you pay tithe of mint and anise and of cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. That's where everybody wants to go, judgment, mercy, and faith. And he said, these ought ye to have done, and don't leave the others undone. Amen. So he never done away with that. Praise God. Praise God. And then the Bible teaches us, even in the book of Leviticus chapter number 27, the Bible teaches us that if a man with at all will redeem of his tithe, then he shall add thereof or thereto the fifth part thereof concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock or whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And so he says, you know, if you don't pay your tithe and then all of a sudden you decide you want to pay your tithe, he said, you owe a fifth to all of that as well. Amen. Now, this isn't my law. It's not my doctrine. Amen. This is still the Bible. Praise God. But the problem is that we want to conform everything to fit our ideologies. Well, we need to get back to God's theology. Amen. Praise God. And this is what God hath declared. Why? Because it belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. Praise God. Brother Tom, I can't just come over there and say, give me the keys to your truck. And even though you may give them to me, I don't have the right. I don't have the authority to just go get in it and drive it out there to the lake and then get out of it and leave it there and leave the keys in and go do something else, you know, and just hitchhike back to my house. And when you ask me, hey, where's my truck? Nah, I just left it out there, you know. Keys are in it, and you can get out there, you can get it whenever you want to, you know. I can't do that. Why? Because it's not mine. It's not mine. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? And this is what the Bible teaches us. And I'm trying to get this principle across, not for the tithing purpose, even though that it is his, but it's the entire principle of it. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. And so we get into the earth. He said that all of the earth is his. Amen. And it is repeated several times throughout the Bible. Psalms 89 and 11, for the heavens are thine, and the earth also is thine. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. 10 and 28, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, and eat not for his sake that is showed, and for his conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Praise God. The earth, but he declared that. He said, the earth, it is mine. Praise God. It is his. It's not the tree huggers. Amen. It is God's. Amen. Declaring the earth to be the fullness of the Lord just isn't enough, because the Lord's authority is declared as well. For the Lord Most High, Psalms 47:2, the Lord Most High is terrible, and He is a great King over all of the earth. Psalms 47:7, for God is the King of all of the earth. Sing your praises with understanding. Amen. And how can God do all of these things? Well, I think that that's fairly easy to understand, because He's the one that created it. Amen. And if He created it, then it's His. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Praise God. Amen. God created the earth. He created all of the life that is upon the earth. And in Genesis chapter number 2, it tells us, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested upon the seventh day from all of His work which He had made. Praise God. He did it all by Himself. Colossians chapter number 1 teaches us that all things were created by Him and for Him. Praise God. Amen. And if God created it, then He has a tendency to not forget what He has created. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16 and verse number 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so it establishes His authority, His declaration, His power. Amen. And the things that belong unto Him. It belongs to God. And if it belongs to God, then He can use it as He desires and as He wants to use it. Praise God. Using our same example. Amen. I can tell Brother Tom, I can say, now Brother Tom, you don't need to use that truck like that. You need to be careful. You need to do this. You need to do that. But it's not mine. It's His. He can do what He wants to with it. Amen. He's the one that's paid for it. It belongs to Him. Amen. He can go run into trees if He wants to run into trees with it. He can do whatever. He can run it into the lake and fish from His front seat if He wants to do that. Or He doesn't have to. Amen. But it belongs to Him. And who am I to tell Him what He can or cannot do with it when it belongs to Him? Praise God. And that's the way that the earth is, or the things that belong unto God. We cannot put stipulations upon the things, amen, that are God's. And God, You can do this, but You can only do it like this. Amen. Amen. It's His. The earth is His. Praise God. And He can use it, and He does use it. Amen. And the unique thing about it is that God uses the earth for His purpose, and the earth resisteth Him not. Amen. Not even the laws of earth, the laws that the earth has upon it, amen, resist the word and the principles of God. But God uses the earth for His benefit. He uses the earth for His need. We could see that there was a prophet, amen, that had prophesied that there should be no rain upon the face of the earth, and there wasn't, and there was a famine that was in the land. And God spoke unto the prophet and said, go unto the brook, and there at the brook, He said, you're going to stay there, and you're going to drink of that brook, and I am going to send ravens to feed you. And the Bible said that Elijah went to the brook, and that he partook, that he drank of the brook, and that the ravens came and brought him bread and brought him flesh every single day. God used the things that were His to supply the need in the time of need. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Joshua was fighting the Amorites, and he spoke, and he knew what he needed. Amen. He knew what he needed. He needed some more daylight. And the Bible said that he spoke unto the sun to stand still, and the moon to stand still and to hold its course. And the Bible teaches us that God made the sun to stand still, and he made the moon to stand still. Why? Because it's his. His child cried out, God, this is what I need. I need for the moon to stand still and the sun to stand still. Amen. He cried out, amen, unto the one in whom it belonged to. And God caused the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. There was a time when Peter was in need of a little bit of money to pay some taxes. And the Lord said, go unto that which is mine. He said, go down to the sea that belongs to me and throw a hook in there, and you're going to catch a fish that belongs to me, and in that fish's mouth I am going to supply some money, and you take the coin that you find there and you go pay the taxes that are in need. But God used that which was his to supply the very need. Praise God. The Bible teaches us to observe the fowls of the air. Amen. That God takes care of the birds that are in the air. Amen. He knows how to feed them. And then he even said, consider the lilies. Amen. Take a look at the lily and consider the lily. He said, it doesn't work. He said, it does not toil. It does not spin. Amen. He said, but you won't find any whose glory is greater. Solomon in all of his glory is not greater than the lily. What was he teaching us? Amen. He was saying, if it's mine, I'll take care of it. Amen. It's like brother, amen, Tom saying, amen, it's my truck, I'll take care of it. That's what God is saying in these situations. The man of God, he said, I'm going to take care of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Wirtz, I was thinking the other day as I was going through some studies and taking a look at some things, and I saw of how that Elijah was down there at the brook, and God was giving him water to drink at the brook, and God was sending the ravens by to feed him with bread and with flesh. But the Bible says that one day the brook dried up, and one day the ravens stopped coming. I want you to look into this. Amen. I want you to see the awesomeness of God. Amen. That brook dried up and the ravens stopped coming. But when all of that happened, amen, God was basically saying, look, the brook is mine, and the ravens are mine, and I can feed you with the brook, amen, the ravens, and I can give you drink through the brook if I desire to be. But I want you to see something else, Elijah. And God dried up the brook, and God told the ravens, don't go back anymore. And so there was Elijah, and he didn't have water, and he didn't have, amen, bread, and he didn't have meat to eat. And so we say maybe God left him high and dry. No, I want you to understand and take a look at what God told him. He said, I want you now to go to a widow, and that widow is going to supply for you. You know why he told him to go to a widow? Because God provides for the widow. Amen. God told him, he said, don't glean the corners of the field. Amen. Don't take the surplus that falls off of the wagon. Don't go back a second time into the olive yard, because I have put my hand upon the blessing of harvest for all of this. Amen. And I am going to use the surplus of blessing for the stranger, for the widow, and for the fatherless. And when God said, look, I'm going to use everything that is mine. Amen. I'll dry the brook up and stop the ravens. And I'll provide from you from a widow. And what was God showing? God's showing, I don't fail. Amen. Because here was a widow that was going through the same famine. And she said, I've got just enough oil. Amen. And just enough meal to wait. One more cake. And then we're going to die. Why? Because there's not a harvest. There are no corners to glean from. There are no olive yards or grape, amen, vines to go back and to pick from. This is a famine. And God said, my word is forever settled in heaven. And if it's mine, I'll take care of it. If it's mine, I'll provide. If it's mine, amen, I take a responsibility for all of this. And every time that widow went back in and took a little more meal out and poured enough oil out, there was always enough for another cake. God may not give you a bakery, but he will supply your daily bread. Hallelujah. How can he do it? Amen. All the cattle of 1,000 hills, amen, belong unto him. All of the earth is his thereof. And all that is within the earth is his. Amen. Amen. Bill Gates, money doesn't amount to a drop in the bucket compared to the riches of God. Amen. Elon Musk can never, amen, create enough money, amen, to even be halfway comparable to God. We're talking about a God who is not only rich, amen, in this earth, but he is rich in mercy. He is rich in forgiveness. He is rich in every area that he needs to be rich in. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just give thanks unto him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And the devil loves to throw obstacles in there. Amen. To try to divide God from the things that are his. Amen. God, amen. The devil tries to throw division. Amen. To create division. Amen. Between God and the things that are his. Amen. The devil wants you to not trust God. Amen. With your finances. Amen. Creating separation between you and God. And but creating division between, amen, amen, the tie that belongs to him and God. Amen. The devil wants to sow seeds of doubt, seeds of distrust. Amen. Seeds of all of these things, amen, creating division from the things that belong to God, from God, hallelujah. But I've come to tell you today that it doesn't work, amen, because everything that is upon the face of the earth, it belongs to God, and it responds unto the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Look at Mount Horeb and how that it trembled under the presence of God. The lightning and the thunder that was there, the wind that whistled through the trees, and the branches that waved back and forth, declaring the majesty and the glory of our God. There is nothing, amen, that God cannot do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kepler's law of planetary motion, amen, that establishes the law of orbits. The planets in orbit around the sun elliptically, amen. But even though that Kepler has a law of motion, of planetary motion here, amen, I want you to know, Kepler, that the sun still belongs to God, and that the moon still belongs to God. And if God wants to say, sun, stand still, then it will stand still. If God declares for the moon to come up at this very moment, then it can do so. Why? Because they belong to God. Newton has a law of motion that establishes for every action there is an equal and an opposite reaction. The earth has a law called the law of gravitation. Amen. It's a force that attracts a body towards the center of the earth or towards any other physical body having mass. The more the mass of an object, the stronger its gravitational pull. Amen. But God didn't create, amen, or didn't define these laws. They just happen to be a part of his creation. And being a part of his creation, he knows how, amen, to do what is necessary to be done.
when there's a Red Sea that knows, amen, that needs to be parted, amen, God can tell Moses, stretch forth your rod, and the Red Sea obeys the commandment, the voice, and the will of God, and the Red Sea piles up on each side, allowing God's children, the things that belong to Him, to walk through upon dry ground. When the children of Israel needed to get across the flooded Jordan, amen, God said, just put your foot in it and I'll take care of the rest. And the Jordan River, amen, contrary to what earth's laws would say, rolled up and parted and didn't flow like it should have. Because why? It belongs unto God. It belongs unto God. Amen. There was a group that stood up and defied the man of God. And God told the earth that belongs to Him, open up and swallow them, and I'll take care of it all. And the earth obeyed the voice of God and opened up. And Korah and everybody that was with him were swallowed up into this. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about a God, amen, that is mighty and that is strong. A God that is powerful, that has no him unto his abilities. Amen. Because it belongs to him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. His children needed food and needed water to be able to survive. And God from heaven rained down manna for 40 years to provide for some multi-million people. Some say it was 1 million. Others say it could have been up to 6 million. I don't know. All I know is that it was a whole lot of people. Amen. But God didn't come up short. God didn't run out of stuff. Nobody went hungry. And when they cried out for water, amen, God didn't take them back down to the Red Sea. He just said, I'm going to bring water from this rock. Amen. That doesn't make sense. But when the rock belongs to God, it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. Yeah, hallelujah. God brought forth water out of that rock. And that rock, amen, I don't know how big it was, but I know it was small enough yet big enough. It was small enough to carry around with them everywhere that they were, where they went, amen, but it was big enough to supply all the water that they needed. Praise God. Amen. But that's the reality when things belong to God. When things belong to God, there is no impossibility. But that's not all that he said belonged to him. That's not all that he said belonged to him. He said, as I live, saith the Lord, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. All souls are mine. God, how can you say that? I created them. I created him. He created Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. He created Eve from a rib on the side of Adam, and Eve was a living soul. Amen. And he declared, all souls are mine. All souls have been created by the Master. And he has an intense love for all souls, because all souls belong to him. Amen. Let me just paint it just a little bit clearer here today. The soul of every saint of God that is in service somewhere, that has repented of their sins, been baptized in the lovely name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and has been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, living a holy, dedicated, and separated from the world life unto God, their soul belongs to God. At the same time, the individual that drank himself into a drunken stupor last night, the soul, amen, that was committing fornication and adultery, the soul, amen, that was stealing from friends and families, the soul that was devising wicked things and imaginations in their heart, amen, the soul that was involved in drive-by shootings and even involved in a murder somewhere in the wee hours of the morning last night, their soul belongs to God. It belongs to God. He said all souls are mine. He didn't say, amen, only the souls that I declare, the ones that are obeying. He said all. I want to know how many all is. All souls belong unto God. And because that all souls belong to God, then he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Amen. Why? Because they belong to God. Hallelujah. They belong to God. Amen. That tells me a whole lot of things. That tells me, as the saint of God, there is an all-seeing eye of God that watches throughout the earth, going to and fro. And if his eyes are upon the earth, and his eyes are upon the sparrow, and if his eyes are upon the lilies of the field, if his eyes are upon these things, amen, then I want you to know today that his eyes are also upon the souls of mankind. There is nothing that I can do that will escape the eyes of God. David said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. Whether I ascend upon the wings of an eagle unto the heights thereof, you know exactly where I am. I want you to know today there's not a tear that falls down your cheek that God doesn't see and that God doesn't count. Amen. There's not a care that runs through your mind, amen, that God doesn't know about, because he said that every idle word, every thought would be brought up into judgment. Amen. That the word of God knows how to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's not the preacher knows how to do that. It's God knows how to do that. Why? Because the soul belongs to God. God hears the murmuring of the soul, the cry of the soul, the joy of the soul, the burden of the soul, the responsibility of the soul. God knows it all. Amen. And God is not going to forsake the soul's cry as you cry out unto him. These are the things that rightfully belong unto God. Amen. That sinner that was out there last night, amen, involved in all kinds of sin, all kinds of wickedness, there is the cry of that soul. There is an all-seeing God that is looking upon, amen, the blackness of that soul, and is saying, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say all the saints come to me. He said, come unto me, all ye who are weary. If you're tired of sin, there is a God that'll help you. If you're in a world of hurt, there is a God that'll help you. If you're in need, there is a God that'll help you. If you need deliverance, there is a God that'll help you. If he's got to part the Red Sea, he can do it. If he's got to feed with ravens, he can do it. If he's got to part the Jordan River, he can do it. If he can rain down manna from heaven, he will do it. He will do whatever he needs to do to save your soul. Wow. We're yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Why? Because those souls are still his. They're still his. And he saw the need for redemption. He saw that he could not, it was more than cannot, he will not embrace sin. Somebody said, well, if there's nothing impossible, then he could do it. No, he won't. You know why he won't? because it's contrary to His word. It's contrary to His word. And He is bound by His word. And so God saw that there would need to be a redemption plan for mankind. The blood of bulls and of bullocks had begun to wax to a place of commonness, or that the importance of it, the necessity of it, the strength of it was taken for granted, and it just became old hat to them. And they just performed, they just did. Amen. And so God saw the necessity of having to redeem mankind. And while we were yet sinners, in a world of sin, blackened by sin, very, very, very unperfect, messed up beyond all means of imagination, the Bible said that Christ died for the ungodly. For God so loved the world. Amen. He didn't say that He so loved the church. We know that He does love the church. It doesn't diminish His love for the church. Amen. It doesn't take away, amen, the desire of His eyes for the bride. Amen. But we got to look further than all of this. This goes beyond us. It goes beyond our 40, beyond, amen, the individuals that is here. Amen. This goes beyond 1200 Henry Street. This goes into the highways, into the byways of Augusta, Kansas. This goes into the highways and the byways of Butler County. Amen. This goes over into El Dorado and Andover and into every area that we can possibly reach within our vicinity. The love of God, the passion that God has for humanity. Amen. He loved them when they could not give unto Him. He loved them that when they stood at a bartering table, there was really nothing worth trading for. But yet He loved them with an unfathomable love. Amen. What kind of love can you say that when an individual is basically homeless and destitute and robed in rags, amen, amen, barely enough rags to clothe us. Amen. The Bible teaches us that He found us in our nakedness, in the blood of our misery. But yet He came unto us. Amen. When we were so unlovable. Amen. Doing the very things as they punched Him and slapped Him and smote Him and said, prophesy unto us. He was doing it for those people. Don't tell me that you've gone too far from God. Don't tell me, amen, that God cannot reach you. You've got to understand the love that God has for a soul. God died for you while you was yet in sin, knowing that you would mess up, knowing that you would falter and fail, knowing that you would not be perfect. But yet God's love for souls, God's love for what His belongs unto Him surpassed, amen, reason, surpassed human intellect, surpassed human wisdom. And God said, I will pay the price to redeem them because I love that soul. And the thief cometh not. I want you to pay attention to what Jesus said. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal. You know why he's got to steal? Because it doesn't belong to him. That human baby that is born at birth does not belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to the devil. It does not belong to the devil. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. I don't want to get into all of the different theologies of, well, they're sinners, their parents are sinners, and then they can't be saved. Let me just tell you something. Salvation is of the Lord. God declares who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. We can sit here and reason among ourselves and have aught one with another. Amen. When neither of us, amen, can save or cause one to be lost. Well, we can cause somebody to be lost, but there's none of us that can save an individual, and there's none of us, amen, that can condemn an individual. That belongs to God. All I know is that in order to be saved, you must be born again. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name, and an infant cannot do that. An infant cannot repent, amen, of anything that they've done wrong. They cannot be baptized in Jesus' name. We're not into the sprinkling business. There's only one way to be saved. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Outside of that, it's all in the hands of God. But the soul does not belong to the devil. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God has a very invested love into the soul of mankind. He has a very invested love, amen, into the sinner and to the saint. But the Bible said that the thief cometh not but to steal that which belongs unto God, and to kill that which belongs unto God, and to destroy that which belongs unto God. Oh, but I believe that God has got some other things for it. He said, but I have come that ye may have life. I'm not talking about 70 years upon the face of the earth, but life, and life more abundantly. Life everlasting. I got one more thing that I want to bring before I close this out. And so you've got the thief that's trying to steal, to kill and destroy. But the Bible gives us an insight of who God is and what God is. Because God declared it himself. And that he said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He said, for thou shalt not worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. There's a holy jealousy that he has. Amen. Amen. Give me just a few minutes to explain this a little bit to you. Amen. Here is a thief that comes down to steal and to pull away. Amen. And to hide. I stole him. But there is a jealous God. And let's let you play the part. We're tired of working with your brother. We're giving him a break. You got to stand in front of him. Turn and face me. The thief has come and has stolen what belongs to God. But God's a jealous God. He don't give up easy. That's the jealousy of a husband. He's not going to just let some guy come in and steal his wife. He's got a jealousy. Amen. And call it what he wants, a jealousy. Numbers chapter number 5 talks about the jealous husband. Amen. I don't want anybody messing with my wife. Amen. I'm a jealous husband. This is who God is. God's a jealous husband. And the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And when the thief steals that which is God, amen, belongs to God, the thief, amen, has got another thing coming. Because he's not just dealing with anybody. He's dealing with God Almighty. And we're talking about a jealous God who does not lose, amen, what's the word I'm looking for? He doesn't lose on good terms, or what's that? He's a sore loser. He's a sore loser. Why? Because he's jealous. He's jealous. That belongs to me. That belongs to me. And I know you've come in and you've created division. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that it is not God's will for any to perish. Not just the saints right here in New Life. Amen. But everyone that is out there to and fro. He doesn't want any of them to perish. Why? Because they belong to Him. Amen. But the thief has come in and has stole. He's lied to them. He's told them that they're okay in their sin. Amen. He's told them that it's okay to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. He's told them that it's okay that you don't have to go to church. You just got to be a good person, a good moral person. He's told them they've gone too far and that God will never love them and God will never care for them again. Amen. But he's forgetting that God is a very jealous God. God is the type of God, amen, that when he's lost, amen, one out of 99, I want you to know that 1% matters to God. Amen. God stands up and he goes looking. And the Bible says that when he finds, he picks them up. I'm not picking you up. He picks them up. And he carries them back to the fold. But you know what God does not do? You stupid wandering sheep, get out of here. You know the way back home. Go back home. Get back to the house. That's not what God does. He picks them up. And he loves them. And he takes them back. All the while his eyes are open. You're not getting my sheep. You're not getting my sheep. All the way back, looking, amen, for the dangers here and about. Because 1% matters to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 10% matters to God. There was a lady that had 10 coins, and she lost one. Amen. One. She lost 10%. Ten, you say, well, my 10%, it doesn't matter. 10% matters to God. Amen. God stood up and he began to look. And he searched until he found the lost coin. 50% matters to God because a man had 2 sons and one left and the other stayed. Amen. But God went out every day looking for that which the thief has stolen. I'm telling you this morning, you matter to God. Whether it's 50%, 10%, or 1%. You matter to God. Amen. Why? Because it all belongs to Him. Don't let the devil tell you that God has forsaken you. Don't let the devil tell you that God is done with you. Don't let the devil tell you it'll never happen. You belong to God. Stand up and resist the devil. Amen. Resist the devil. Amen. Be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. God will come find you. God will reach down into your sin-fested life. God will clean you up and put you back in His house. Let's stand here this morning. Because you belong to God. You belong to God. I'm speaking to people here in this congregation. That you have lost children. That the devil has lied to. And the devil has caused them to walk away from truth. I've come to tell you today, they still belong to God. God's a sore loser. Somebody that has been washed in the blood, God's a sore loser. And he's seeking for the 1%. He hasn't forsaken us, but he's seeking, even if it's one, he's seeking. And he's got the equipment to do it. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And one of these days, the bleeding of the lost is going to come up into the ears of God. And he's going to reach the staff over the edge of eternity and hook it around them and pull them back from the abyss of death. And he's going to pick them up and he's going to carry them back to the flock. One matters to God. One matters to God. Saint of God, don't get bent out of shape and say, well, if I backslide, God will care. No. No, you're totally misconstrued. The father turned and he looked at the other son and he said, what's your problem? If you wanted the fatted sheep, all you had to, or the fatted calf, all you had to do was say so. If you wanted to celebrate and have a party, that's all you had to do was say so. That's it. All you belong to the family. All you got to do is ask and you shall receive. Don't get all in the mully grub saying, well, you know, here I am. Nobody cares about me. Everybody just cares about the sinner. Everybody just cares about the backslider. No, you need to grow up. God's house has been such a shelter to you. You haven't had to fight the prey of the world, the ravaging wolves. You haven't had to stay out there in fear and intimidation of the things of the world, feeling so vulnerable. Why? Because you've been under the Master's care. And you belong to God. And the Master's watching. As long as you stay here in my care, there's no wolf going to get you. Now you go wandering out there and I can't make you any promises. But as long as you stay here, you're going to be okay. Why? Because you belong to God. That's why. Amen. Amen. God cares. God cares. God cares about what you care about. And if you'll care about what God cares about and do something about it, he'll do something about what you care about too. Amen. Because it belongs to him. It belongs to him. You having problems financially? Do what you're supposed to do. Because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, I can't make you any promises of anything. He said, if you do this, you're a thief and a robber. And the Bible tells us no thief's going to heaven. I can't help you. But God wants to help you. He wants to help you. I said, he wants to help you. You do what you're supposed to do, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Because it's mine. It's mine. God, I just want to tell you something today. The tithing belongs to you. That 10%, God, it belongs to you. But God, I'll tell you this too. If you want the other 90%, I'll give it to you too. It belongs to you. You've been so good to me. How can I not give? Amen. When I know that you'll provide a brook, provide ravens, provide a widow, provide whatever. I don't have time to tell you about the blessings of God, but I'm telling you, they're there. We pastored two very, 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 very small churches. And one we had great revival with. But both of them, I should have had to go get jobs. But God always provided. Always provided. Always provided. And one time I had to go to work. God provided. In a place where the unemployment rate was over 18%, God gave me an opportunity to work, and he provided. And so I did. In the other place, I'm just telling you right now, God is my witness and my family is my witness. Amen. I should have had to go out and get a job. But lo and behold, here comes this lady. I don't even know what she drove. She drove some type of Infiniti G35. That's a sport car. And she showed up in this Infiniti G35 red. And she came to church for I don't know how long. But she came to church for a good long time. And I mean like clockwork, she paid her tithe. Like clockwork. I never said anything about it. She just came in. She just immediately just started paying her tithe. And she made good money. I didn't have to go get a job. One day my wife's phone rang. And she said, it's this lady. And she said, Sister Cowan, she's like, I don't know how I've missed this. She said, but I just realized that y'all are oneness. I said, yeah, we're oneness. I mean, I know I've been preaching oneness and stuff. She's like, I don't know how I missed it. She said, I'm Trinitarian. My wife said, well, I mean, we would love to sit down and give you a Bible study. She said, no. She said, I don't understand the Trinity and all that other stuff. I just know that that's the way I was raised and that's what I am and stuff. And so I was just calling to let you know that I'm not coming back. And brother, the brook and the ravens dried up. And I could promise you that you could probably still smell the exhaust of her G35 Infiniti when the next family pulled in. And here they came in, and they immediately started paying tithe, Brother Wirtz. Immediately. I thought, praise God, we got to get them saved. Oh, I tried to use the loving care of a pastor's heart to save them, and they didn't respond. I tried to use wisdom and discretion, and it didn't save them. I tried and tried and tried to get a Bible study with them, and they wouldn't take on. We even snuck into their house. Actually, they invited us, but we had ulterior motives. They invited us over to eat, and we figured we're going to give them a Bible study. They ate up all the time and the food, and we did too, but we didn't get a Bible study with them. I mean, we're probably 3 or 4 years into this, and I can't get them to budge. As a matter of fact, there are times that they don't even come. They only came on Sundays. That was it. And every once in a while, they'd show up on a Wednesday. And that was about it. But there were times that they wouldn't come. But you know what? Here they would come by the church. Hey, I know I couldn't make it Sunday, but here's my tithe. And offerings. Praise God. Thank God from whom all blessings flow. I know He's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I tried love, agape love. I tried everything. Wisdom, intellect. Then I got mad. If they don't want love and wisdom and all that other stuff, I'm just going to put it out there. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're lost and on your way to hell. I already tried everything nice. If you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to be lost forever. I guess I was trying to preach them out. That didn't work either. They just smiled, praise God, shook my hand. That was some wonderful preaching, Pastor. Couldn't get them to budge. They love me. They love my wife. They loved our family. When they went out of town, they said, come take care of our house. We went over there and took care of the house and the dog. We tried everything. We couldn't get them. Couldn't get them. One day the brook dried up. And the ravens quit coming. They quit coming. And God provided another way. Why? Because it all belongs to Him anyway. It's His. It's His. I was pastor in Red Bluff, California. I mean, we didn't have two pennies to rub together. We were so poor. We were so broke. We were eating red beans, and I think we had some cornbread to go with it and for several days. The boys thought it was cool for a few days, and after that, they got tired of it. I'm sorry, that's all we got to eat. I went to the mailbox, opened the mailbox, and there's a check in there. $1,500. From a preacher somewhere off in so far Louisiana, you probably never heard of it, and I promise you, you can't find it.
Because it is in the sticks. Google don't even know where it's at. No, I don't know about that, but it's pretty tough. Brother Cowan, I was just thinking about you, and the Lord impressed it upon me to send you this. What was God doing? God said, all the tithe is mine. So I'll take the tithe from Louisiana, and I'm going to pay the profit over here by the Ravens. God knows how to do all of this stuff. You can't outgive him. You can't outsqueeze him. You can be saved. You can be lost. The choice is yours. But everything belongs to God. It belongs to God. The sinner that is out there, they belong to God. Saint of God, you belong to God. And he's a jealous God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Somebody needs to come to this altar here this morning. And you need to cast your every care upon God. Somebody needs to make their way to the altar today and say, God, I need you today. Amen. Somebody needs to come and put doubt upon the altar and say, God, I'm sorry for doubting you. It all belongs to you anyway. It's yours. And I am yours, God. And you are going to take care of me. Hallelujah. You have the words of life. Amen. In your mouth. You know how to do all things well. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.